And let's turn to the gospel today. It's found in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. We're continuing on in this chapter from last week. All right. Jesus is speaking here. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money. To another, 2 talents. And to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this word, so accurately preserved and transmitted through the ages. We just praise you. We pray that your living and active word would move in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we have another parable about the kingdom of God. And the master was going to go away again on a long journey, and they wouldn't know how long he'd be gone. That's a similar setting as we had last week. And this master gave away enormous amounts of money to his servants. All 3 servants were ready to receive what the master gave him. So that's a key point here, is that they received. They didn't reject it. They didn't push it away. Now, in the eyes of the master, we must remember this key thing too, is that all 3 servants had ability. All right? They all had ability. I think that having an attitude of receiving and knowing that we have ability is very important. I think of that image that Dave Ramsey said. He's a Financial Peace University. He said, once, if you have a closed fist, you can't receive money. So if you're holding on to money, you just grab onto it. You can't receive it, and you certainly can't give it away. It takes an openness for that to happen. So being ready to receive from God is very important because God is very generous. Now, the first thing is this.
said already,
the master is very generous. Very generous. When we hear the word talent, we usually think of talents. You know, someone can play piano, someone can sing, someone can throw something, build something, whatever it might be. That's what we typically think of talents. And that word talent in English is where was taken from the Greek, that word talent. That was actually first a measurement of money, you know, of weight actually. And so when we think of that, that was during a denomination of the Roman Empire. Now, the value of a talent in Jesus' day varies from source to source, but in general, today more, people would say that a denarius is like a daily wage. You know, what you get paid. You work a day, you get a denarius. If you had 10,000 denarius, or denarii maybe, that's one talent. All right? So, one talent is equal to 20 years of wages. That's a lot of money. 20 years of wages. So, for the master in Jesus' parable to give a servant one talent meant that the master was very, very generous. That one had an ability. Now, the second thing is this. Each was given according to his ability. That's very clear. They all had ability, and it didn't matter their ability. What mattered was what they did with it, of course. They were not given more than they could handle, though. Note that. They weren't given more than they could handle. They were not overwhelmed with too much. The master knew and understood how much they could handle. The master gave accordingly. Even the man with the smallest amount, one talent, had 20 years worth of wages there. That's a lot. The other had 100 years worth of wages, and so on. The master knew his servants well, and he gave them what they could manage. Now, the master is very, very generous. Each was given according to his ability, and the faithful servants focus on the generosity of the master. You catch it? The faithful ones focus on the generosity. One evidence of this is this. One significant difference between the two servants and the last servant, the first two and the last one, was their attitude, how they saw their master. The word in the NIV is entrusted. It literally means, you gave me. And this master... it was a common thing done that day to just take their goods and distribute them to their trusted servants so that they would then take care of them while they were away. Twice in verse 20 and verse 22, it says, you gave me. All right? This is significant. They acknowledged the giver. What was his, he gave to them. The fourth thing is this. The faithful responded to generosity at once. At once. The first two servants, quote, went at once and put his money to work, end quote. They recognized the generosity of their master and honored him by putting it to work right away. They didn't delay. They didn't know how long he'd be gone, but they did it right away. At once. The third slave focused on the hardness of the master. He, as you read what he said, even blamed the master for why he himself didn't go out and put the money to work. Isn't that typical when we talk about accountability or something like that? When someone finds out they're going to be held accountable or found out afterwards that they were accountable for something and were negligent, they blame somebody else. It's a typical thing that happened ever since Adam and Eve, the blame game. That servant needed to recognize the 20 years worth of wages came from his master. Not only did they belong to them, but he actually gave them to him, but he doesn't recognize that they were given to him. He doesn't use that word. If he were thankful for the generosity of his master, he would have then honored his master and put it to work. He functioned instead out of fear. And he functioned out of laziness. He did not use the word entrusted or you gave. He knew it belonged to the master, but he wasn't thankful for it, and he did not put it to work to gain more. Not even
to the least.
It reminds me of a verse from James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The third servant, he buried his master's money, and he did nothing with it. Nothing. He did not put it to work. He didn't even do the minimum he could do, which would, of course, been putting it into a bank to gain interest. This raises an interesting observation for us. From this parable, we learn from God that God does not want us to do the bare minimum in living. He does not want us to do the bare minimum. It is not acceptable. The master condemned the third slave as lazy and wicked, and he did the bare minimum. He cared only for himself. He gave excuses for why he did nothing at all. He didn't even love his master. His foolishness became evident when the master asked him to give an accounting, and then his demise is listed at the end, which sounds a lot like a place like hell, you know. How does Jesus tell us to live? Jesus replied in Matthew 22, 37, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." We are not to give our minimum to our master, but our all, our all. What comes when the faithful servants put to work right away what their master gave them? Joy. Joy comes when putting the talent to work. Both of the servants said, well, all three of them said, "Look." But emphatically, the "look" was used in the first two, and it seems that they had joy in telling the master what they did. It's like this: "You gave me 20 years worth of wages? I've got now another 20 here for you." It's like, yes, I'm so excited. And the master, he's excited because he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." To be complimented by your master is definitely a good thing. That means joy. To be faithful in a few things and given more to do is another compliment. The third point of joy were the master's words: "Come and share your master's happiness." They both were faithful servants, and they made twice as much as they were given. For simplicity's sake, I'm sure that if they made half, it would have been good, or a third, or a quarter. But the point is, they put to work at once what they were given. A result of faith is joy. It isn't the amount they made, but that they put the money to work and benefited from doing so. They acted in faith, not fear. What matters is not the level of ability we know, but acting in faith. You may not know the outcome of what's going to happen when you invest in something, but they acted in faith. Now, the master said the exact same words to the one who was given 5 talents and made 5 as he did to the one who was given 2 talents and made 2. How much we know doesn't matter. It's the faithfulness. The reward is the same. We are not to compare ourselves to others. We know this. We hear about it. Many do it. As if someone's gifted in this way or in another way, oh, we don't have that gift. We know from 1 Corinthians and Paul talking about that, that everyone's gifted differently. But we are given gifts and we are given abilities. How we put them to work is important if we do. Are we faithful to try our best, or do we think that we could do less for God? Do the best you can with what you have is what we should say. Give thanks to the giver, whether money, abilities, or talents. Wouldn't you like to hear God say that one final day, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Wouldn't that be sweet to hear? "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things.
I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness."
Someone pointed out to me last week the idea, even two people, that Christ may not return in our lifetime like generations before us thought would happen. So I made this little short poem. It says, what we do while Jesus is away, before he comes back on that final day, what we do while Jesus is away, before he comes back, or we pass away. The idea of we could pass away first, and more, that's probably more likely, but we don't know. But think about this, especially regarding the few things that Jesus said. He said, a few things, you've been faithful in a few things. 20 years worth of wages is a few things. I mean, that's amazing. Or five times that. Monetary things, I presume, are the few things. Each of us knows that even a year's wage is a huge amount, but remember, this is a parable teaching about the kingdom of heaven. What if talent is more than money or skills, or certainly leads to more than that? What if we look at things from an eternal perspective instead of a monetary? What could be many things? How about the Holy Spirit? He's priceless. How about a greater thing would be the good news of Jesus Christ? Of course, forgiveness, salvation, sharing Jesus' love. All those things could be many things, many more things. Obviously, far more important than any monetary value. What are we doing with the Holy Spirit? What are we doing with the Bible? What are we doing with forgiveness or the good news? God is immensely generous. God gives to us according to our ability. And what he gives to us is great. Never diminish it. It's great. God's generosity sparks us to act in faith right away. Not doing the bare minimum, but giving our all to him. How are we using what he has given to us? I like this verse that I'm going to share with you here. It's from 1 Peter 4:10-11. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Again, from 1 Peter 4:10-11. By God's grace is how we receive his gifts and his valuable things that he gives to us to be used, to be put to work right away. It happens because of him receiving it, but also acting on it in faith. We want to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your abundant grace. You give so much. We pray, Lord, that all that you give us, we will put to work to gain more in your behalf, to praise you, to honor you, to bless, be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.